All right, let's go to the phone line where we've got Mr. Bill Shanahan joining us with the Energy Rogue. Let's start off by a quick little pitch, elevator pitch. You know, floor three is fine. For the Energy Rogue, what is it?
Energy Rogue is the ability to understand the energy markets. And what we do is help you bring tools to you so you can actually learn to do it yourself instead of relying on other people who sometimes are extremely expensive. And the rogue part of us is the fact that we do it pretty much on the cheap.
When you say tools now, we're talking about information and insight and connections and all that stuff, huh?
We're talking about everything. We're talking about everything from data that comes in various different charts to helping you understand the data, to helping you interpret when data lines cross over and what that means, if it means anything.
Yeah, has the world of analytics really caught on in oil and gas like it has in baseball and NFL and some of those other places? Because really, that's what we're talking about at the end of the day.
Well, that's exactly right. It's data mining. And what is interesting, in the world of oil and gas, we've always used data. Where we've seen most of it happening recently, especially in the last 5 years, has been in the drilling side of it, and where people are able to actually get data for these horizontal wells and be able to interpret logs and interpret their things. What we bring to the deal is the understanding of the markets, and to understand also that the price is not the market. There's more to the market than just looking at a price. It's understanding which way the market's going, why it's doing that, and if it intends to change around, and what makes it be bullish or bearish.
You know, that's actually one of the, I don't know if we want to call it an unintended consequence or what we want to call it, but up here in the Bakken, which is would be my home shale play would be the Bakken if we're going to stay in sports talk here. We've got this, you know, this layered library. Back in the 50s, the governor had some pretty good foresight, made all the oil companies put a core sample on, you know, on public record in the library. So up here, it's a totally a commodities game. And that's why I came up with the idea to have the conversation that, you know, is energy becoming ag at 2.0? Because really up here in the Bakken, they know where they can drill by price point and et cetera. And is that, you know, a lot of that has to do with just knowing the information, and which is a very good positive, because that takes a lot of wildcatting out, knowing where the stuff is and where you can punch a hole and what kind of chemistry is needed. Do you guys get that far in depth, or, you know, I mean, is it mostly just financial stuff? Am I talking crazy at this point, by the way, to you, or where are we at?
No, actually, what you're doing is you're beginning to understand the market is more than just a shallow one pitch thing. I mean,
So I'm talking
the Bakken.
I'm talking so crazy I'm making sense.
Well, what you're doing is you're talking so crazy that you're starting to make the market make sense.
Oh, look at that.
So the Bakken is a good example. I mean, you know, the getting oil from where it's priced at WTI Cushing to the Bakken, it's either pipe, rail, go to the local refinery there, which has limited capacity, go to the other refineries in Park City, which have a limited capacity. And so the key with the Bakken was not finding the oil, was getting it to a market.
Right. It's extremely controlled at the end of the day because of the lack of distribution to the market, without a doubt. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but when it's controlled like that, it becomes a little bit more predictable due to some of the information that's out there. You know, Montana, that's one of the things that they were talking about in their state government is, you know, getting more of these core samples and information on file, which is a sticky wicket, really. You start putting some of the oil companies' intellectual property on record, and boy, that could be the difference of dollars and cents. And really, that's what we're talking about here is in the world of oil and gas, especially, let me repeat that because I kind of slurred a little bit. In the world of oil and gas, you know, just that every little bit of nugget of information can mean the world of difference, because we're talking about big dollars here. Big dollars.
Big dollars. A lot of times, you know, people look at it and say, well, that's only, you know, a nickel difference in the price of gas, or it's only a 50 cents difference in the price of oil. But when you start multiplying it by the time of volume we're talking about, so let's say it's a barrel of oil, you say 50 cents, you got 400,000 barrels going through, that's $200,000 a day. So if you keep increasing by $200,000 a day, after a while it becomes real money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And really, that's what Energy Rogue does, really, right? It helps you understand the market a little bit better so you can, you know, increase your bottom line, whether it's drilling or extracting or even playing the markets, really. Isn't that what the Energy Rogue's about?
It is, and we actually go a little bit further than that. If you've got a business that is dependent on the oil and gas price and you don't know what that price is, then how do you do planning? Let's say you're a frac company and you're dependent on the price of oil and gas and you don't know where the price is going. If you could figure out saying, oh, well, in the next 3 years, the price of gas is going to be this or the price of oil is going to be this, then you're able to make strategic plans. And all we want to do as Energy Rogue is provide people with tools and data to be able to be successful in their endeavors.
Let's talk a little bit more about Energy Rogue and some of the ways that you guys will challenge the market and also assist the market. I'm going to be interviewing one of the authors to this Bakken study that I sent you a text on last week. It was, has the Bakken peaked? And it just talks about some ducks and some of the drilling sites and the sweet spot, and if you will, and et cetera. And what was your takeaway on that? The interview got rescheduled to tomorrow, so I was supposed to interview the author this morning, but we rescheduled it to tomorrow. I was hoping to have some more information for you for our interview, but you had fired back a couple questions for me to challenge the author on, which is, I thought, great, because that's what you want Energy Rogue to do. You want to go through some thought exercises and to make you think in different ways so you can make the best decision based on the information at hand. At least that's how I interpreted that.
Well, yes, you know, that's sort of the rogue part. We're just a small group in our business team, our founding team, though between all of us have about 75, 80 years of experience in the market and in operations. And so we challenge things like that all the time. There's always a question even when we're working for other companies. We challenge that. And one of the questions I was talking to you is that people say, well, they're running out of ducks. And I told you, I said, we're supposed to run out of ducks. Ducks is like a can of cash buried in your backyard. It's no good unless you dig it back up. You know, so it's not really worth anything until you actually start doing something. In fact, what it's doing is you've invested money in that duck and you're getting zero return. So the longer it's not completed, when you start looking at the, you know, net present value of money, you literally could lose money by waiting too long to produce that duck.
How about let's talk a little bit about the world of innovation. Do you guys track much with some of these innovative companies? Like, we're going to be interviewing a company who does work in the Bakken, who's challenging that study as well, because they've got some new innovative products to help increase the duck numbers and help increase some of the other enhanced oil recovery numbers and that sort of thing. So, you know, we see these studies all the time that either speak a little bit of doom and gloom or hesitation, but I look at the world of innovation and boy, whether it's big data or just some of these other things coming into play, innovation sure is making the drilling costs go down and down on its own as well. Is that still happening or is inflation taking that out?
It happens every day. There's always some guy working in his garage saying, you know what? If I weld something here and put another thing here, I've increased the efficiency of this tool by 25 or 30%. You don't see them. They're not in big companies. They're actually doing it. However, the big companies are the ones handling the big data, and they're coming up with different ways to be able to be more efficient every time. You should always think of the small guys in the oil and gas energy as the innovators, as the wildcatters. Large companies in oil and gas energy are the manufacturers. So one is trying to do things better. The other thing is one's trying to do them more efficient.
And that's where you see.
That's where you see the strength of both of those things. A lot of people says, well, you know, big old is bad or small guys are, you know, getting rewarded up. No, this industry helps both sides. It rewards innovation and it punishes inefficiency.
Well, and one of the things I'd like to do is a public service announcement, because I like to do this from time to time. We call them Planet Service Announcement, PSAs, Service Announcement. And that was the old traditional way of doing business, was a lot of the smaller companies, the bigger companies wanted the smaller companies around because the smaller companies could be quick and nimble. And they could take risks that the bigger companies just can't take. And then the reward was they would hire them out as a contractor or do some of these other things. We've gotten into a world now where there's a lot of intellectual theft property going on, whether it's reverse engineering or it's pick your brain meetings or whatever the case is. A little bit of a Planet Service Announcement to those big corporations. Remember, you're supposed to be doing business with those younger, smaller startup companies, and not just taking their ideas. You're supposed to be rewarding them for taking the risk out there. So I've been hearing a lot about the thought stealers out there and the copycatters. So I want, instead of the wildcatters, they got copycatters out there. So I just wanted to do a Planet Service Announcement, if you don't mind, sir, on our interview time here.
Not a problem.
Because that is very, very important for people. A lot of the younger generation, I don't think they understand that the way the symbiotic relationship did work between big business and small business is, you know what, you can badmouth Walmart as much as you want, but you go walk down the shelves of Walmart and there's a lot of small businesses that have gotten opportunity because of Walmart in a lot of different ways, whether it be Sam's. Absolutely. Whether it be Sam's Club or cookies, barbecue sauce, you know what I mean?
it's absolutely. It's interesting to see how in the oil and gas industry that typically larger companies wanted the smaller companies to go prove the fields, and then they would come in and buy the fields and actually manufacturally complete the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but even in today, like I said, I run into people on a regular basis who've come up with a new plan, and I'm going, I would have never thought to do that. I sort of wished I had.
Well, and
because I think that guy's going to be a multimillionaire. And it's just a matter of finding, you know. And this is the part you were talking about, the studies, is that they never say there's going to be a technological advance that's going to happen that's going to cause all this stuff to be better. And yet every big surge in the oil and gas industry has been because of a technological advantage.
Actually, I've got to challenge you on that, because we both know there are studies out there in the climate change world that just assume we're going to come up with new technologies, whether it be in the infrastructure or the world of energy, to take on some of this new aggressive policy that we've already started, really, because wasn't that you telling me about the power lines with the Teslas? And
So talk about that a little bit,
because here's another great example of what the energy road can teach you, folks.
So I would tell you that if the agendas that they have right now were to go forward in the speed that they want to go forward, we would have to have technological advances, because we don't have it now. And so I was talking to a distribution guy one time, and he was telling me that on the average between 200 and 400 homes, the distribution grid for that homes has the ability to charge maybe 6 to 8 Teslas at night without causing a disruption in those 200 to 400 homes. So, and all of those depend on how old the homes are and how new the homes are. So, you know, they as well are going with technological advances, but, you know, sometimes physics gets in the way.
We just had a week-long cold snap up here in frozen Fargo, here in the frozen tundra up here in North Dakota. And a friend of mine, his wife, of course, she had to get a Tesla because she had to keep up with the Joneses. And he would call me with tales from the Tesla and all this different stuff. Pretty soon, the kids are annoyed because she's making the kids run into the town to the charging station, all this different stuff. Well, when she left the house, it said that she had 75 miles and it was like 0 degrees outside. She only got 20 miles in the day. And she was already having to charge it because the cold weather did a number on the battery. And so there's another part that nobody's talking about when it comes to these different batteries. So she actually called the gal who sold the Tesla and said, yeah, this isn't working out. We need to find, yeah. We need to get a different car.
Well, and the problem with that is that as they go down on their battery, they determine that the heater is not essential.
Oh, that's so right. Yeah.
It will turn the heater off on you. So, yeah, in North Dakota, I would think that would be a bad thing.
Oh, that would be horrible. Or, you know, in some of the Southwest states, the air conditioner, they'll turn off, you know, that
exactly.
type of thing. So
exactly.
It's quite a different world. And that's the one thing here at The Crude Life, we've been trying to go non-political, because a lot of times when you're political, it fogs the lenses right away and people just don't necessarily even want to listen. So we at least try to say, listen, we're going to approach the oil and gas industry in a very non-political way. We're going to look at the positive innovations. We're going to challenge in the areas where they need challenging, and we're not afraid. We're not going to say they're bad, because listen, I grew up in agriculture, and you want to talk about looking the other way? That industry did it for 50, 75 years. So, yes. I mean, oh, yeah. Go ahead.
And at Energy Road, we're the same way. We try not to be political at all. I mean, people always tell me, says, well, we need $100 oil. I says, you do not want $100 oil. Because after every $100 oil, there's $30 oil. So because at $100 oil, we produce and we produce and produce, we get all this, we oversupply the market, and the prices collapse.
Yeah, it's something else, man.
So we challenge people going both ways, going up and going down. And it is with Energy Rogue, once again, we don't sell to companies. We sell to people.
Yeah, who is your customer, by the way? I'm looking at the time. I have another interview scheduled in about 5 minutes. We should probably get to the nuts and bolts of how you make some money and who your customers are.
Our customers are always surprising us of who they are. We're selling to producers and hopefully eventually the end users, a little bit slow, but there are 1,000 people in between. One is a trucking company owner, and he was looking for information so he could hedge his diesel fuel. We don't think about how much diesel those guys burn, but they burn a lot of diesel. And so to be able to hedge it, it gives him a fixed price for his diesel so he's able to make planning. And so those are the kind of things we do. We have another guy who's helping source feedstock in a ways of butane. And it's the same thing. They're trying to make sure that their butane's priced at a price they can continue to make plastics. And so it's not just the oil and gas business.
What do you charge?
We have two products that we sell. One is $90 a month, and that gives you full access to our website. I mean, we're talking about over 80 different charts on various different commodities, and then we give you what we call as a daily email that will send you with updates every day with a different product and with what the current balance of the market is and what the pricing is. And so it's really just that simple. You just sign up at energyrogue.com. If you need more information, you can always reach me at bill@energyrogue.com. So we try to keep it simple, try to keep it easy, because it really shouldn't be this hard.
Well, I like it because not only does he give some information, but you know, time to time he might give some advice, but not, you know, go out and not really. You don't predict, do you?
Oh, we, of course, it's fun.
Oh, okay, you do predict. Okay.
We predict mainly because it's fun for us.
I was going to say, it's pretty, you know, that's pretty remarkable if you predict. And I got to go back and take a look at that, because that's putting yourself out there.
Well, we've actually been pretty close all winter so far. I mean, we started in May, And since May, I think we may have missed one or two, but it's basically understand how the traders work and understanding that when you talk about people who trade oil and gas, these are not people who own oil and gas. These are New York traders who trade the commodity.
Sure.
And yet they still affect the price of the physical oil and gas. So that's sort of a disconnect that a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, you're a lot like the crude life. You got customers from all walks of life.
We do. I mean, we have people sometimes just follow us because they want to be right.
Not to pat myself on the back by patting you on the back, but it's a backhanded pat back. But what ends up happening is when you've got all these different walks of life, you can actually stay ahead of the industry, because a lot of times the industry gets in a very herd mentality, and sometimes they don't necessarily see as far outside the industry as they should. Echo chamber is the word I guess I'm looking for. And when you've got different walks of life and you're okay challenging the industry from time to time, you can stay ahead pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the thing is that we challenge ourselves. I tell people inside our little company, our major form of communication is debate. I mean, I don't have a problem with calling a couple of the other guys and say, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I think it's sort of stupid.
And I'm telling you, the only way that you can have those conversations is if you take politics out. And I'm serious,
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been in an oil and gas conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden they just start railing on Trump. And I'm like, wait, who brought his name up all of a sudden? But because, you know, you're or whoever the Republican is that in that town, because you bring up oil and gas, you're affiliated with this. It's just kind of like if you're in the nonprofit world, you're automatically a Democrat. I don't know. I'm trying to just.
So I have two quotes for you then on Jason. I says, one is that over my 45 years in the industry, what I've learned is Democrats are good for the price. Republicans are good for the business.
Ain't that
the
truth?
The other thing is from Will Rogers. And Will Rogers says, you know, we have the best politicians money can buy. And so
we'll leave it at that. That's pretty good.
We're going to leave it at that. That is as far as political as I am willing to go.
So how can people get you some business? You got a website and all that fun stuff?
We have a website. Just go out there we actually give you a free piece to where you can get current market data for free if you just sign up at the website. That's all you have to do. Go to Energy Rogue. .com, and when you go to sign up, you can put in you can sign up for the free piece, and you'll get an email every day that'll show you what the market's doing and what the balance is doing, and we'll show you the forward curves and show you where the price is going. Just from that one little email that you get for free, you can know more about the energy market than most people know in your company.